We are so glad to have been here this week, and the Lord's been faithful to us. Very thankful for the saints in Toronto inviting us to this time. We know for many of them it's quite a planning, an ordeal, and a time-consuming venture. I think it was worthwhile. I'm very thankful for Jim and the messages he brought, for those who lead the workshops in the afternoon, and for the whole package of us being together for these times, for those who lead the dorm devotions and everything. It's a body of Christ that we're experiencing as we're together for these days. I'm very thankful for all of that. And we've received many things and some rich treasures. And I begin by thinking of Paul just before he went to be with the Lord. He said this, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep what I've entrusted to him until the day of his return." And then two verses later, he said to Timothy, "Now, Timothy, guard through the Holy Spirit within you the treasure entrusted to you." Now, for some of you, you may not realize it because you're just going through life at this moment, but you have been receiving treasures regarding our precious Lord in these days. Guard them. They become of more value with each year of your life. We've tried to convey this high thought. You know, this scripture here we have at the bottom of the page. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. As you see, it's from Revelation chapter 17. And it's when Jesus is coming back with those who have been faithful and have been raptured into his presence. This is a penultimate a moment in the history of the whole universe that we're looking at. And it's very high. Saints in Toronto pray about what the topic is, and they always pull some high concept that's beyond what adults understand. And so this has been our theme. We could have taken it and talked about the end times and the whole thing, because it certainly has to do with it. But rather, we've tried to break down, both Jim and I, in our own confusing way, these three words, the called, the chosen, and the faithful. And as you can see by the pictures here, we tried to represent our calling as those mountains. We climb from peak to peak. We ascend in our calling, our on high calling, our heavenly calling. We ascend upwards in holiness and in all of those things. We tried to convey being chosen by the stars in the sky. We're chosen for an eternal destiny, for celestial appointments, for great things to happen, you see. And now, as you can see tonight, we have chosen to picture being faithful as walking through the valley and the pathway that the Lord has set for you to walk by faith and not by sight. And so this is why these three pictures. Okay. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll talk about being faithful tonight. We thank you again, Lord Jesus, for the treasure that you are to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that even this evening as we're together and worshiping, that saints are beginning to express their love for you and they're being chosen. How wonderful it is that we can say amen to all of those testimonies in prayer and in worship tonight. Now we ask, Lord, that you'd help us by your Spirit, quicken us, Lord, from the length of this day, refresh our bodies, make our hearts alert, to hear what you'd say to us regarding being faithful unto you. We place this time in your hands, thanking you for everybody who's here. May everyone have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there you are, down there, pointed with the red arrow. Way down in that little pathway there. Watch out, you're going to fall off into the precipice. It's just you and a bunch of people walking down there. That's being faithful. To make your calling and choosing sure. We talked about the matter of calling. One day in time and space, at a certain point in your life, we heard the heavenly calling, "Come unto me," that call to salvation. And we responded to it. And when we responded to it, we began to ascend the calling mountain. Although this is actually Mount Everest, but I don't think many of you will try that one. And we looked at these various different places on the upward climb toward glory, called into his eternal glory, called into his kingdom, called into service, called into the church, called to be holy, called to fellowship, all of these things, so noble, so high. And as we were climbing in our calling, we are climbing, calling mountain, We are climbing. Oh, it's Jacob's Ladder, isn't it? Well, whatever the song is. You get it. We're climbing Calling Mountain, then something happens. We begin to see the stars. There's something tremendous about God's plan for us. His chosen plan takes us past earth and time and brings us into an eternal destiny as wide and as broad as the stars. As we get a hold of something of the size of God, we're in awe of His size. And suddenly He kicks back and says, "And my choosing of you is also larger than you could possibly think." Our God is a huge God. And one of the parts of it that you and I are going to have to get used to, and actually it's a scary part. Can I tell you the scariest part about God's anatomy? His heart is so big. He loves you with a fearsome love. It says in James, He's jealous for your spirit. He watches everything you do, not to be a father. He said, that, you're not doing that right. That. I said, up. No, but He's jealous for you. Jealous with a love, a possessive love. You have no idea, but you're going to find out. He doesn't leave you alone easily, you know. You can say, "Well, I'm going to walk out on the Lord." Fine. See what He thinks about that. And when you try to walk out on the Lord, you walk in the path and it circles you right back around to Him. Say, "Wait a minute, I thought I was walking away." Yes. Calling Mountain, we begin to see glory. And then, of course, we realize in this wonderful choosing, His love chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. What a tremendous concept. We realize that we were chosen, that He always had His eye on us, even though we didn't know it until we were called to salvation. And so we looked at this wonderful matter of being chosen. And so now, in our temporal life here on this earth, we still live under the sun with all of its daily duties and everything, but we also live in eternal dimensions in the heavenlies. No longer just under the sun, like all unbelievers do, but now also in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. And so we looked at this wonderful verse yesterday. "Were you not raised to life with Christ, then aspire to the realm above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and let your thoughts dwell on that higher realm, not on this earthly life." And the Lord begins to explain to us what all of these starry, eternal concepts are. Glory. There's glory waiting for you. Rewards. Eternal destiny, sonship, etc. Being chosen by God is not being chosen just to be some little nobody. You're chosen by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That which you're chosen to is tremendous. And we see that God has already set the wheels in motion to finish what He began. We know this wonderful verse starting in Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And then Paul sort of gives us a progression of God's working in our lives. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. Now notice that predestination, as Calvinism talks about it, is something completely different. What the Scripture means by predestination is this. You have a destiny already charted out, and that destiny is you're going to be conformed to the image of Jesus. This verse is not talking about predestination. This verse is just saying you have been determined. God says you are going to look like Jesus. That's your predestination, okay? And whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He justified. And those whom He justified, He glorified. So you can see, before creation ever was, you were foreknown and predestined. And then on earth, you are called at a point in time and justified by the precious blood of Jesus during time. And for eternity, you are glorified. This is God's plan. He's got the wheels set in motion. And if you realize that God's working all things together for good, what does that really mean? Is everything God does designed to make you happy? No. But God works all things together toward your glorification and toward His glorification because they happen to coincide perfectly. When all things are done, you will be glorious, He'll be glorious. And that's what He's working right now. A tremendous work is going on right now by the Spirit. having called you, he's justified, he's sanctifying you, he's getting ready to glorify you. And the wheels are in motion. God has provided everything to get us from grace to glory. From grace, when we first got saved, to glory. I use this verse here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who've received a faith of the same kind as ours. By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything you need for life and godliness, he has granted to us through the true knowledge of him who called you by his own glory and excellence. So the Lord has already provided everything necessary for life and godliness in your life. There's nothing missing if you'll just take hold of these things. And so, praise God, it's all done. It's over. It's in the bag. We're called. We're chosen. Let's go home. Now you can just be me, like the little angel here. She has a kind of a devilish look to her. I don't know. No. Wait, just a minute. Wait, we can't go home yet. There's something for us to do, of course. Faithful. Uh-oh. We need the whole glory sandwich. You know how the glory sandwich is made up? Of course. There's two pieces of bread, called wheat and chosen grain. But where's the beef? Where's the faithfulness with a little secret something sauce? Ah, the sandwich is not complete yet. God's done his part. God's called. God's chosen. Where's your part? Where's the beef? Oh boy, faithfulness. Uh-oh. Without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please God. Uh-oh, you can feel the hammer coming down right now, can't you? That's why the church looks like a lopsided sandwich. Many are called. Few are chosen. Why is that thing all mixed up there? What's missing in the middle? Many are called. God calls many. Why are so few chosen? Because they don't exercise faith and respond to God. God's calling. They're not responding. Nothing's wrong with God's transmitter. Something's wrong with their receiver. Many are called. Few are chosen. Chosen grain is so much better bread. But what's missing? Of course, Faith, one of the three biggies. What are the other two biggies? What is it? Hope and love. Our Christian lives have these three dynamics to them. Living dynamic. Living faith. Now listen, I know that you and I want to get to a place where we don't have to exercise faith. We can just exercise no. I just do what I know. God says, no, I want you to do something you don't know. Oh, and I'm not so comfortable with that. You see, faith is one of the biggies. We're to live by faith, not by sight. Ah, you see. Now we're getting into trouble. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you this word, faithfulness. I see people getting edgy on their seats. They're starting to do this little thing. Now, some of those people cross their legs, they're kicking their leg back and forth like this, like a dog that's being scratched. Oh, no. The word faithfulness comes up, and immediately there's a big cloud that goes over us. Oh, no, faithfulness. I'll never add it. I'll never be there. Uh-oh, what's going on? Oh, he's talking about faith. Chosen, called. What are you talking about? Oh, man. I don't know if we're going to make it. Only Alfred E. Newman. It looks a little bit like Jim Boggs there. Holy kidding, Jim. You saw that picture, how handsome he was and how buff he was the other day. He showed when he was a kid, right? All right. You see? Hey, what are you worried about? Faith makes everybody nervous. You see, now you knew there was a fly in the ointment, right? Oh, we worked you up about the calling, climbing, calling mountain. We worked you up about the stars, and that you got a star out there with your name on it with the chosen business. Now we're down to the real stuff. You knew the hammer was going to drop, right? Faithfulness. Oh, boy. Well, I want to take a realistic view of faithfulness here. So There's a couple of things we want to notice right off. Now notice, this is the verse that we're studying, Revelation 17:14. We've got to be frank about this. This is talking about overcomers. These shall war against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they also shall overcome that are with him, called and chosen and faithful. Now this is the American Standard Version, which is actually probably the most literal version we've got in English. And it says not only that the Lamb overcame the enemy, but those who are called, chosen, and faithful overcame the enemy. And so we are talking about something, ladies and gentlemen, when we're talking about faithful, something highly prized. That which enables somebody to overcome. All right? This is now no small matter. You guys chose the verse. A second thing is that this is has very much to do, this word faithful, with rewards. And when Jesus is talking about rewards in the kingdom of heaven, he mentions this word faithful, as we have in these two passages here. These are both to do with the coming of the kingdom. And he says, who then is a faithful and sensible slave, whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Or in Matthew 25:25, his master said, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. He says, look, I gave you some money, and you used it well, and you brought back twice as much as I gave you. Well done, good and faithful. So rewards have to do with faithfulness. So I don't want to in any way reduce the value of this. And thirdly, the martyrs in the Bible are also called faithful. Here in Revelation 2:13, in the church of Pergamos, there was this guy named Antipas. It says, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. You hold fast my name and did not deny my faith even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. Martyrs were faithful, even unto death. This man, this particular guy, according to church tradition, Antipas, was actually burned in that was a wooden bull that they used to sacrifice in Pergamos, and they burned him alive in that bull. Well, anyway, faithfulness, when we look at it, we see that when you take a realistic view, we see correctly that faithfulness is a highly prized valuation from God. You have been faithful, along with being called and chosen, because they overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's quite a victory. Two, they served the Lord diligently in their calling. And three, they remain faithful over a period of time. That's what faithful means. Faith over a period of time. As Paul says in 2 Timothy, just before he goes to be with the Lord, here's what he said about himself. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Faithful. It's a prize. It's wonderful when somebody is called faithful servant. Now, seeing the noble goal of faithfulness, this is our goal. Now, brothers and sisters, you know you're called. And I think you know you're chosen. And the Lord loves you. These things are coming into your understanding and you're grasping how wonderful is your calling and your chosenness. But I want you to have this desire to grasp as well faithfulness. And the first thing is to realize the path to this goal. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 is very important in this regard. So I want you to listen to it because we'll look at it in a few different slides. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election, that's the same thing as chosenness, sure. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Now first let's look at the word sure. What does it mean to make your calling and election sure? We talked about calling, we talked about being chosen. Now how do you make it sure? It means you make it solid. Make your calling and chosenness certain. You make it manifest where even others can see your calling and your being chosen. It's clearly seen by everyone. That's what it means to make your calling and choosing sure. Okay? Let's look at it a little bit further. Now, this is the same verse, but now we're going to look at the second part of it because now it's telling you how to make your calling and election sure. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Listen, if you practice, you won't stumble. Don't worry about stumbling. Don't worry about not being faithful. If you will practice, you will not stumble. And even more, listen. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So there's something to practice. It's really a daily practice, making little decisions to believe and obey. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. You see, how do you find this valuation at the end? Well done, good and faithful servant. It starts today, practicing obedience to Him. Now, this chart over here has this all this stuff, God's way, man's way, the working faith, dead faith, God's will, doing your own thing, obedient, disobedient, spiritual growth, contempt to be a babe, live godly, live in pleasure. But it's just showing that there's decisions that make your calling and choosing sure. The more you decide by faith, the more certain is your calling and your choosing. Now, what does Peter specifically mean in this verse by practice these things? Okay? Now, for that, we have to go over to 2 Peter and look at the rest of the passage, because he precedes that statement with what he's talking about. So look in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 through verse 7. Here are the things that he says, if you practice these things, you will not stumble. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Okay, so faith is where it starts. Now you need to add something to your faith, virtue. And to virtue, you need to add knowledge. And then verse 6 says, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Okay? There's a list there of things that you need to be adding to your life. Adding to your life. Listen to what he says then in verse 8, right here, 2 Peter 1, 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here is what we're talking about, if you want to boil it down simply. It gave you that list, but I want to make it simple. Here's the question. Are you increasing in the Lord? Is there growth in the Lord? That is the key. You will not stumble if you're growing in the Lord, if you're taking His grace and obeying His word and living by faith. Day by day, in little ways, practicing, increasing, adding to. We're just talking about somebody who is in ascendancy, increasing in your spiritual life. Listen, dear child of God, if you are increasing in your spiritual life, never worry, you won't be counted faithful. But that increase is the key here that Peter is talking about. It keeps us faithful. We're increasing. The Lord's adding more of Himself. It's making you stronger. Your calling and election is becoming more sure. Now, when we look at being faithful, and we see this increase in our life, okay, how are we going to make our calling and election sure? By being faithful. Here it is. Faithful means a daily walk of faith by the grace of God. It's that simple. You hear somebody speak who's been around in the Christian for a long time, and you wonder, how did they ever get to know all that kind of stuff that Jim knows? How did he get to that spot? One day at a time, he read his Bible. That's it. There's no magic. There's no quick way. There's no instant Christian growth. It's daily walk by faith. So as I say here, you may see the stars of your choosing and be climbing the mountain of your calling, but the road to glory is in the valley, walking by faith, not by sight. On a day-by-day basis, we may have a wonderful time here away in Ancaster here, but when you go back home, You're living in the valley day by day by faith, not by sight. You don't see glory stars. You don't see mountain peaks to climb. You have a day ahead, and the Lord is speaking to you about something. Will you hear him? Will you obey? This is where faithfulness takes on its root. And you see, everybody's root is different. From grace to glory is unique for everyone. So you start out on grace's freeway. Uh-oh, watch out. The devil will rob you of your joy, of your life. Oh, you got away. Happy highway is a wonderful place. Watch out. You come to this place. Now there's Broadway and there's the narrow pathway. And at that point, the Lord says to you, be ye holy, for I am holy. You realize, I must go the narrow pathway. And so there you go. But watch out. Give up gulch. Oh, no. Temptation hairpin. Almost lost it into Lusty Valley. Listen, I'm not telling you that this isn't dangerous stuff down in the valley. Oh, forget it. Up in the mountaintop is all snow, nice, clean snow. Well, you're down in the valley here, you see. You almost got caught in Lusty Valley. Oh, well, anyway, you made it, and here you go, driving backwards because I couldn't fix the car the other way. But watch out. Watch out. You got to a certain place, and you got a little bit of pride. You're up on that pinnacle with the devil saying, hey, jump off and show everybody how good you are. Watch out for pride's pinnacle. It's taken many people down off the road, you see. But then you get going, whoa, don't be offended. No, I know that guy did you bad. Watch out for dead man's curve, watch out. Carnal comfort's in the way. Oh, you see, that's your drive. I mean, that's your walk. The walk of faith. And for everybody has different valleys, has different turns, because you know what? Everybody has different weaknesses, therefore different temptations. And everybody has different secret somethings that this walk is going to unearth and produce. And you know something else even more wonderful? The Lord takes you through your valley at the pace he knows you can be victorious. When you run into a temptation or something that seems too much for you, you know the Lord just brought you there because you can overcome it. He would not send you to some place that would overwhelm you. If you stay on the path as he's leading you day by day, walking by faith, not by sight, you will find increase in your life. You will find you're attaining certain things in your life. Oh, it's not like you notice the increase. You can't always stand up to the wall every day and draw another pencil mark and say you're a little bit higher. Because a lot of the increase is character things, you know, like patience and all such things as that. But on mountaintops, we see our chosen glory. Praise God for mountaintop experiences. But it's walking through the valley we learn faithfulness. All right. So we're going to look at the two sides of faith's becoming faithfulness. See, faith to faithfulness. Faith with a track record is faithfulness. Got it? Faith that's walked down the road a little while is faithful. Full of faith. And we're going to look at the two aspects of faithfulness. The first is our exercise of faith. Just like Old Faithful. It sprays up at the same time. The same number of minutes apart in Old Faithful. That geyser there. Where's that? Yellowstone Park? I forget. Yeah. Right on the clock. The guy stands out there. Yep, just about ready. And whoosh, up she comes. All right, let's look at our faithfulness. Number one, our exercise of faith. One, exercising faith is the exercise of your blood-bought free will to pursue God. Ladies and gentlemen, because you've been saved by the precious blood of Jesus, you have been for the first time in your life truly free to make free will decisions. You're no longer a slave to the enemy. You're no longer a slave to your lusts. You have a free will now to decide what to do. So here's what you can do. Present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Present yourself to God. Take that free will and do what he wants you to do. And what's that? Here I am, God. I'm free to do whatever I want and I want to serve you. Wonderful. You're exercising your free will. and you're exercising it to pursue God. Or as it says in a more complex way that we have the picture with here, it's in that running of the race. It's mentioned in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. Everybody has things that bother you and sins that beset. You can lay them aside if you'll do this. If you'll run your race looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You now have the freedom to take off those weights and run the race with Jesus. What a wonderful faith this is. If we could see our life as running with Jesus, being enabled by Jesus, this is the first aspect of our faith, a free exercise of will. And we say, with my free will, I decide for God. Now, in a lot of little ways, you should really do that. Now, let me explain what I mean. When you go to the next Sunday meeting at your church, your natural inclination is, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here, and I can't wait for this to get over. That's your natural person. As long as you're alive, you'll feel that way. But instead, you say, wait a minute. I am a free will person, and I'm born again, and I love Jesus Christ with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so now I'm not going to be passive. I'm going to engage in this service and see if there's some way I can add a song or add a prayer during this time. I'm not going to be passive. I could be passive. I'm free to be passive, but I decide not to be passive. I'm going to be, guess what? A worshiper. You just made a good decision. See? But you know what? God doesn't force you to be a worshiper. You can come sit on your hands. Everybody else can sing and you can lip it. You can poke your friend text them or do something. And you all text. Are you texting during the meetings? Years ago, they used to pass papers around. Now are you texting? Are you Twittering? I caught you. No, I don't see anybody doing that. Okay. That's number one. Exercise your free will. You have a free will. You don't have to be like the old negative guy who you used to be. Yes, I'm going to study my Bible. I know God wants me to study. Yes, I'm going to do it by faith, not by sight. You don't look at your Bible and say, oh, that Bible's so beautiful. I just love the cover. I think Emily Ruckert likes covers and beautiful colored things. But most people, oh, it's such a beautiful cover. I got to open this book, see what it says. Is that the way you feel about your Bible? Oh, you do? Well, good for you. Glad somebody just loves their Bible. Especially if it's a new Bible. You can sniff it. Ah, so nice. But, okay, now you got to open it. But now there's that old black and white lettering in there. Are you in love with black and white lettering? Well, yes, you are. You have a free will to be in love with the Word of God. That's right. See? Exercise. You've been set free to exercise. Now you've got to decide what to do with the freedom He has won for you. Exercise it for God, see? Number one. Number two, faith is choosing God over whatever. Okay? Remember, faith isn't walking on water. Faith is choosing to walk to Jesus. Faith has an object and it's Him. I put my faith in Him. That's the primary matter that we choose to do with our free will. Number two, regarding our own faithfulness, it's a walk initiated by the heart, not the mind. As we have already mentioned several times, Paul says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't always see glorious things of mountain peaks. We don't always feel God. We don't wake up every morning and hear God saying, hello, Dana, I've been waiting for you, you. If somebody here hears God's voice every morning, I've got a nice little hospital back in New York for you. But, you know, you walk by faith. You read the Bible. Sometimes it speaks to you. Sometimes you read a portion and you say, what? You know, you don't always get something, but you walk by faith. And later on, God may tell you about it. But don't forget this. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We were meant to, as Christians, because here's the deal. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I said this the first day in calling. Actually, when God called you, you broke into another realm. You broke into the fourth dimension. And now you've got to exercise your life in the fourth dimension, where He speaks and you obey. where you do things that where there's no outward command, but there's an inward call. This walking by faith pleases God. When one of his children who don't see but who obey because they move by the faith in their heart, God says, I'm pleased with that. I like that. Are you living by faith? God loves that. You believe, why? Because you believe God is. Well, where do you see him? Let's see, where is he? Oh, the sign's still blinking, huh? I don't see God. Do you see God here tonight? No, but do you believe in him? Good. Do you believe he's a rewarder of those who walk by faith? Amen? All right, good. Then walk. All right. It's a walk initiated in the heart, not just the mind. If you walk the rest of your life by your mind, you're going to say, okay, now let's see. What's the job that's best for me? Let me see. Let me look this up in the catalog. The job that makes the most money and I have to do the least work. Let's see. Now, who's the chick I'm supposed to marry? Now, let me see. I need somebody beautiful, but not too beautiful, because then I'm such a sluggard that wouldn't work. And if they're too beautiful, they may be too high maintenance. You know, let me go with a messy one. And if you work all of this stuff out with your mind, what a mess you get into. So the best job you find is garbage collector, right? And the best girl you find is, well, you know, I don't even want to go there. All right. Come on. The heart is supposed to lead you in these things, right? Number three. The exercise of faith is an ennobling fight. One of the ways that the Lord really works on your character is because you have to fight the good fight of faith. That's exactly what Paul tells Timothy right here. Fight the good fight of faith. Did you know there was a good fight? And how do you do that? You take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. You were called and given eternal life. Now guess what? Take hold of that life. Live by that life. Don't live by your life. Live by his life. And in Ephesians 6, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Because when you become a Christian, you know the enemy's going to go after you. But there's an ennobling fight here. Faith fights the good fight of faith. Oh, how you were built in that process. What a wonderful thing. Well, having that, that's as far as I want to go on you exercising faith in those three ways. Now let's look at his faithfulness, because it's part of the package of becoming faithful. Okay, God's faithfulness is our keeping. Listen, there's a guarantee. I want you to understand. God is always faithful. He put the rainbow out. He can't help being faithful. Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy 2. It says, if you become a scoundrel, he has to remain faithful. He cannot deny himself. Paul put it in Romans 3. What then if some did not believe? Their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? Well, of course not. This, what our brother shared this morning was really precious when he was doing the marriage vow things. And I saw some of you getting ready to propose to people just with just that one message. But here's the deal. God's side of the marriage vows remain in effect because he's faithful. Better or worse, sickness and health, faithful or unfaithful, he's always faithful. And it's something you learn to come home to when you've been unfaithful. And you find he hasn't changed the agreement at all because of his new covenant. And because of what Jesus did for you, he still has remained faithful even through your unfaithfulnesses. His faithfulness is part of his very nature. Secondly, if he calls you, which he does, and for you he's called almost everybody in this room, I'm sure, then he commits everything to fulfilling that call. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Write down this scripture. Wake up the person next to you so they could write down this one scripture. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. I am calling you to be holy. And then he equips you with everything necessary to be holy. He commits himself to it. He doesn't just say, okay, hey, I call you, be holy, good luck. He puts everything at your disposal. Do you need angels to guard you in your ways? He'll send them. He's committed. He's faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So hold on. Hold on. He's faithful. He will not let you down. If he calls you to do something, it may be a tremendous task. It may involve a lot of cost and a lot of patience. But if he's called you to do something, he will come through and provide that which is necessary for there to be victory and fruit in that situation. Number three, if you are sorely tempted and helpless, come to him and he will keep you. Do you see what we're calling his faithfulness? Our keeping. He is our keeper. I wonder if any of you remember early on in Jesus' prayer, John 17, when Jesus was talking to the Father and said, Father, you know, I've been with these disciples and I've shown them who you are. One of the things that Jesus said was this, and the disciples you have given me, I've kept them. Jesus was a keeper of the disciples. Otherwise, they would have just gone left and right and who knows where. But Jesus kept the disciples that God had given them. And Jesus keeps those disciples who are called and who come to him. So listen to this. When you go through temptations, look, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. We're all tempted by things. But God is faithful, Paul says. That's what I want you to know. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape that you may be able to take it. If you are tempted, you come to him. He's your keeper. He'll keep you from that temptation or give you a way of escape. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. You know, ladies and gentlemen, not all of you feel like you've been attacked by the evil one, but some of you have been. Now, precious promise when you know you're under attack. The Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Number four, when you stumble and fall, he is faithful to recover all who come back. When the prodigal son turned around and came back, did the father say, sorry, I'm not going to take you back? No. The father still had his side of the covenant. This is my son. He was dead, but now he's alive. This is my son. He'll always be my son. Whether it's as simple as confession of sins in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. That means he won't hold it against you. If we confess our sins, God doesn't say, let me think about it. As I recall, this is the 214th time you've come with the same sin. Yeah, I've been keeping a record. And I'm going to think on it for a couple of days. You go down to the prison, maybe I'll forgive you this time. No. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you know, you guys are still young, so you don't know what it's like when you become part of the million pardon club. But I'm telling you, as a frequent flyer, it's just downright shameful that I have to ask the Lord to forgive me for things that's been going on for years, and I keep doing it, and I keep asking forgiveness. And you know what? I'm sure glad the word faithful is bigger than my word goofus. He still forgives me. Can you believe it? And I'm part of the million pardon club. That's right. I get downgraded. Never mind. All right, Isaiah 44:22. I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Now, I don't know if you're seeing the secret, his faithfulness becoming our faithfulness. There's a secret there. I don't know if you quite see it yet. Do you see it? Yeah. Calling, that's his part, right? He calls us. Right, we know that. Choosing, his part. We know that. He chooses us. Faithfulness is his part. Wait a minute, that was our faithfulness. Well, you know what? We'll find out that our faithfulness is in his faithfulness. We find that all, that what we have to do is come to Him, and He is faithful. This is a secret. Don't tell. Don't tell. Everybody who ever has been, and everybody in that gang who comes back with Jesus and overcomes the enemy in those last days, if you say to him, "Are you faithful?" they'll all say, "He's faithful." Now, why do they do that? Did they learn that's like a Chinese way you do it? You never take credit for something even when you know it was you? It's because they know the truth. How could I ever have been faithful? It's impossible. But you know what? He was faithful. Boy, I went through a turn in the woods where I almost lost it, and He pulled me back. He's faithful. This is a testimony everybody's been through the mill, you see. Well, let's look at this in a couple of points. The secret of our faithfulness is God's faithfulness. All He needs is a little faith. And the faith is exercised by coming to Him. I don't know if you caught that in all those scriptures when you were tempted or when you have fallen. Come to me. Do you have enough faith just to come to me? Forget about thinking about starting all over again. Forget about thinking about going back up to the peak. Come to me and I will help you and restore you to get you going. All you need is a little faith, mustard seed faith. He was faithful in very little. Become faithful in the end. We know these things about the mustard seed. He will keep any faither faithful. Are you a faither? I realize we didn't have that English word, so I've added it to the vocabulary. Please put it in your dictionary, okay? On your computer, faither. A faither is somebody who exercises faith. Any faither, he will keep faithful. He will keep any truster trustworthy. Look at this beautiful picture on the right. It says, trust in the Lord. And it quotes Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Of course, the Bible's talking about Mount Zion in Jerusalem. This is Mount Zion National Park. But other than that, the point is still the same. So here's where Paul, I quoted at the beginning, here's where Paul says at the end of his life, here's the deal. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded He is able to keep. He is able to keep that which I have entrusted to Him against that day. Jeremiah 17:7. I'll try to explain this. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Oh, now wait, there's a difference there. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and who entrusts the Lord. Does that make more sense to you? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And whenever anything comes up, he goes to his trust. It's the Lord. Faithfulness and trust are sisters, kissing cousins. Pretty much the same thing. How are we going to be faithful? I entrust to the Lord what He's given me to do. And He keeps it. Ah, wonderful, wonderful mystery. A few questions just to confirm God's faithfulness. Here we go, simple questions. We've seen many in the Bible mess up and fail. Here's the question. Did God not receive any one of them who came back? Can you name somebody? Well, some of you have already thought of Esau. He came back, but God wouldn't give him the inheritance, right? But it was his father, and it's because he'd already lost it by default. But God gave Esau plenty. All right, but nobody. Anybody who came back to God, He never threw them out. Wasted people, wasted lives, they came back. God didn't throw them out. God's faithful. From 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded He is able to keep that which I have entrusted to Him. Is Paul counting on his faithfulness to keep himself faithful or God's faithfulness? He is able to keep. Third question. Were any of the called, chosen, and faithful in Revelation singing, great is my faithfulness? Did you ever hear that song in heaven? Well, then, I just... What can we say? We need to give ourselves to the Lord. Put ourselves in His arms. He says, be faithful, my son. You say, Lord, I'll be faithful in your faithfulness. And you hold on to Him and your faithfulness. I have an illustration. I don't know if you'll understand or if it applies, but here it is. I have a son who lives in North Carolina. He's got four children in his family. And one of the children's an autistic girl, the second in the bunch. And I remember when that autistic girl was 6 years old. Now, she doesn't speak verbally. Even now at 13, she hardly speaks anything. She lives in a world by herself, blocked off from relating to other people. Autism is a real heartbreak for those who love and wish they could be related more. And so for myself, she loves me to scratch her back. So she kind of comes over and I scratch her back and she runs away. 6 years old, we went to the beach. First time, oceans, breaking waves. And we go with the four kids and they, you know, we plunk our chairs down. And next thing you know, they're in the sand and digging, the four kids having fun. And the kids would go in about knee high and jump on some little things that we had. And they would float around and the waves come busting in. But they're just small waves and everything. So I did that as long as I could bear it, you know. And my back's breaking. So I said, hey, I'm going out into the deep. So I go out there, out to where I love to go, and I love to jump waves. And they had some nice ones. You got to go past this little, sandbar. You go past the sandbar, and now you got some, I don't know how big, but, you know, 5-6 feet. And so I'm jumping. I'm having a big time, you know. Well, of course, the current's taking me down, you know, one way or the other, and this happens to be dragging me southward on that particular occasion. And I'm out there 15 minutes. And I look out and I notice Emily, my autistic granddaughter, and she's standing, and now the family's over there, but she's standing on the beach opposite me, and she's kicking her feet up and down, and she's doing this with her eyes. And so I jumped more waves, and I looked again, and she was still there. Well, you can't believe it. I went into the shore. I got there right by the shore. She took my hands, and she started walking right into the deep. We got in about waist high, and she jumped up on me and clutched me with a death grip. And you know what? She laughed, and we jumped waves for an hour and a half. You know what? The other three grandchildren don't trust me. They think I'm going to say, okay, here you go, whoop! All this autistic little Emily knew to do was trust her grandpa. And she was the faithful surfer that day. We jumped waves. She was blue and shaking. I tried to go in. She'd start screaming. I finally dragged her. She was screaming the whole way. The next day I got to the beach. She's standing by the water going like this. I found a bond with my grandchild. But she found faithfulness by me holding her. She went out there, but she couldn't go out there alone. She knew who to call, I guess. She found the biggest guy she could find. And hey, there's a walrus. Woo! Woo! So there I was, Grandpa Walrus. Well, whatever. She was right there. An hour and a half, jumping waves. Some of the waves would smash us in the face. Some of the waves would curl over the top of us. Made no difference as long as I was there. When I wasn't there, she wouldn't go beyond her knees. What's faithfulness to you? You think it's some kind of big bravado? I tell you what it is. You jump into the arms of Jesus and you say, Lord, if you're asking me to go there, I'm afraid. You take me there. But be willing to go. That's faithfulness. It isn't our faithfulness. It's really His faithfulness. And don't you know He's wanting us to say, please, will you help me? He says, I got just the resources for you. Give you a word to encourage you, whatever it is. Well, faithfulness begins today. Faithfulness begins one step at a time. And faithfulness begins with the consecration of our life. Because here's the amazing thing about consecration. You know, from Romans 12, 1 and 2, where we present our bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. When you present yourself to the Lord, He keeps you. I wish you'd do that every day. If you'd consecrate yourself, body, soul, and spirit to the Lord for the day, He'll keep you. He's a keeper. He's a good keeper. But He wants your permission. And that's why consecration is so important. For some of you, I know that there's been spiritual progression and increase in your life, and you're on your way from faith to faithfulness. For some of you, Perhaps you've been too dependent upon yourself. Perhaps not so obedient to His heavenly calling. But today's a good day. We can start all over again. And so I'd like us to have a prayer and a moment of commitment here before we end tonight. Could you just bow your heads? Lord, I look through the scriptures, and most of the time we're talking about faithfulness, it says God is faithful. There's a couple of times where people are called faithful, but that was only in the light of your mercies and your keeping. And we come to you, Lord, the called, the chosen, the faithful. And Lord, all we can do is dance in the sand and hold out our arms and ask you to take us where you want us to go. Because you want us to live by faith and not by sight. We're so prone to wanting to live by sight and the comforts of it. But Lord, we're willing to go if it's you who'll take us there. And we want to just come tonight and pray for everybody here that our lives would be on the altar of sacrifice. That you might be able to keep us from falling. Keep us from temptation. Keep us from the evil one. Lord, we want to present ourselves to you. You're the only one we can trust. We want to trust in you and have you be our trust. Lord, we come to you tonight, presenting ourselves afresh and anew, 100%, that you might keep us and use us and teach us how to go from grace to glory through faith. Now, if you feel the need in your own personal life to lay your life upon the altar tonight, and you want to do this as standing before God in faith, then I want you to stand up where you are. You're saying, Lord, I want to consecrate myself. Give myself entirely to you. But I'm asking you to stand up where you're sitting right now. Stand up before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm your offering tonight. I know that some of you are already there. And you're the Lord's, and He's your trust. We'll wait just another second. There's some people standing. We're so thankful. We just keep praying. Pray for yourself. Lord, what would you have me to do? This isn't a show time. It's a time of consecration. Oh, Lord, do take the hearts of everybody who's here tonight. You see deep inside. Let there be offerings made that changes destinies, that brings us to glory, that fulfills your calling, that teaches us faithfulness. Oh, Lord, we pray. Now, Lord, I thank you for those who are standing up right here tonight. It doesn't matter how new or old we are in the Lord. If we need that new commitment before you, Lord, we come to you tonight and make it. Lord, we do love you. Sometimes that gets hidden in our hearts. We get so busy and active and sometimes doubting. But, Lord, at this very moment, we stand and say, Lord, you are the one that we love with our mind, heart, soul, and strength. We want to give ourselves to you for your keeping, Lord. We want to be faithful to you by grace. We ask that you would help us and help us come and come into all that you have for us, not just partial, but 100%, knowing all of the glories and all of the callings that you have laying ahead for us in our lives. So we commit these ones who are standing before you and those who are seated but are truly consecrated and love you with all their hearts. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that we can live with saints who truly love and desire to follow you. Bless those who have stood and bless those who are seated who really love you and are pressing forward. Lead us up on Calling Mountain. Lead us into all your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Lord, we want to thank you and praise you once again. Lord, you alone are the faithful one. Lord, there is no other. There is nothing else in this world, Lord. Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we praise you for who you are. We thank you that you're a God of love. Thank you that you are patient and merciful with us. And Lord, even in this matter of being faithful, Lord, you are the one who is faithful. Lord, you are looking for ones who would just turn to you, who would just come to you. And Lord, tonight is Lord, you've heard our prayers and you see our hearts. Lord, there are many ones in here that wants to have that desire to commit themselves to you And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, you would take these hearts, you would really have your way with each and every one of us, Lord, that we would be faithful to you, and by your enabling, Lord, by what you've done on the cross, by what you've, what you're doing with just the Spirit in us daily, Lord, we do lift up each and every one here. Lord, may you have the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.